A swish of a pen at the White House and President Trump makes it look easy. Poof. The pipelines are back.
This is with regard to the construction of the Keystone Pipeline, something that's been in dispute, and it's subject to a renegotiation of terms by us.
The simple strokes of a pen set in motion many uncertainties, funding, construction deadlines. And chief among the uncertainties is the reaction of Native Americans, whose victory last year at Standing Rock in North Dakota is now in question with a suddenly reopened door for the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline from North and South Dakota to Illinois, as well as the Keystone XL Pipeline. Joining us from North Dakota now, Tara Hauska, National Campaign Director for Honor the Earth. She's a tribal attorney. Tara, what's your reaction? Where do things go from here, do you think?
I really was not very surprised to see Donald Trump take such a move. He's made his environmental policies quite clear when he put a CEO of Exxon in charge of the Secretary of State position. Where it goes from here is continuing what we have already been doing, grassroots organizing and getting the attention of millions, literally millions of people around the world that now know about the Dakota Access fight and are, in this local governance system in the United States, we're looking at, are we really willing to accept the fact that, we see a government putting corporate interests ahead of the interests of the American people in clean drinking water? There are 17 million people that live along the Missouri. So we continue to organize. That's how we got our victory last year, and that's how we'll continue to win.
The principal issue, it seemed, in Standing Rock last year before the Obama administration shut things down was consultation with the tribe over the potential desecration of sacred lands. It seemed as though an accommodation was reached. Do we expect that the Trump administration would continue with that accommodation, or are they setting up a situation which says tribes be damned?
I think, the issue of tribal consultation is one that became prominent because it was so obvious in this situation that the tribes' rights were being completely run over, knowing that the pipeline was rerouted from Bismarck, a largely white community, due to the concerns of their drinking water, and instead put half a mile north of the reservation because somehow the tribes' drinking water didn't matter. That's, a major concern. However, that's just one piece. Destruction of sacred sites is certainly something. Going through unceded treaty territories is certainly something. But I think the tribe is really looking for, and we're really looking for this overall understanding of, if you're going to do a project of this size, do a full environmental review. If you're going to try to slam a 1,200-mile pipeline, nearly 1,200 miles, we at a minimum deserve a full environmental impact statement. And that's what we got with the Obama administration. The executive order that Trump put forward is actually really not that clear. It's kind of vague on exactly what's going to happen. And so I think the process is going to continue. Obviously, there's an environmental impact statement that's being done right now. You have to follow the Administrative Procedures Act. There are certain guarantees by the federal law, the protections that remain in place regardless of Donald Trump's assertion that he will dismantle the EPA. At the same time, there's also this grassroots effort of people that are divesting from the banks that actually are supporting the Dakota Access project. And that's actually caused major investors to reassess their interest in this project. That's real change. The bottom line is always what really matters, right?
Is there a tribal interest, assuming that collaboration could be achieved, in actually building these pipelines and jobs for everybody and prosperity in North Dakota and other places along the Missouri, or is that just off the table?
I think the concept of, the tribes benefiting from all these jobs, right? They always talk about the creation of jobs. These are temporary construction jobs, and most of this pipeline has already been constructed. The benefit to North Dakota is very, very minimal at this point. Instead, these local communities, as in any pipeline project, are the ones that bear the risk. They bear the risk of the leaks that happen. So I think, the focus really should be on why is our federal government, why are our, elected officials allowing this focus on fossil fuel infrastructure that is actually really, really risky you know, as a project, you know, you look at the benefit and the risk. Why would we look at that when we can be instead moving towards green energy, creation of, you know, jobs that way, generation of energy that way, true energy independence through renewable energy that does not put our finite resources at risk.
Tara, finally, Donald Trump has a lot of experience in his gaming businesses in dealing with tribes on the East Coast and in other places where there is casino gambling. And he's known to be very competitive and in some cases ruthless with the tribal business interests. What's the feeling about Trump in his ability to deal with the tribes in something as delicate as this?
Donald Trump, when he was opposed to what was happening, you know, the competition that he had with the casinos on the East Coast, he sat in front of the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs next to the Mashantucket Pequot people and said that the Mashantucket Pequots weren't real Indians because they didn't look like Indians to other Indians and they didn't look like Indians to him. That is, you know, a perfect example of his interpretation of Native people. What they are supposed to be, what we are supposed to be, and, you know, this complete lack of regard for tribal sovereign nations that exist within the United States. I think that we're going to have to rely very heavily on our own sovereignty, on looking to ourselves to make sure that our rights are upheld, and trying to look towards our Congress on both sides of the aisle, which have a, you know, a duty to the First Peoples of this nation. And, you know, the upholding of the trust responsibility, it's not just one man. It is the entire system that is supposed to acknowledge the treaties that were signed.
Tara Hauska is National Campaign Director for Honor the Earth, a tribal attorney. Thanks so much, Tara.
Thank you.
President Trump wants to build both the Keystone XL and the Dakota Access pipelines. Do you agree with that decision?
My name is Leela, and no, I don't support either of these messages. And why? Because I'm taking the long view. I'm choosing the future health of the planet and water to support life over short-term profits to a short-sighted few who don't and won't share their gains.
Little Rock, Arkansas, yes, we need to be as energy independent and competitive as possible.
This is Bruce Bennett from Plano, Texas. I back the union position that the Keystone Pipeline will create numerous new jobs.
Tomorrow, you'll hear how these pipeline disputes are resurrecting a deep sense of Native American pride and solidarity across North America. Elfrida Dunkin is a member of the Seminole Nation of Oklahoma. Her powerful message you'll hear tomorrow is, we are here.
It's just kind of a, almost like a dichotomy to me. You put us there, and then you want what we have, and you want us to be an independent, sovereign people and work for ourselves, but yet you keep taking and taking.
I'll be talking with Elfrida Dunkin tomorrow, but what's your reaction to what she has to say? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.